So it's a blessing to be here tonight to talk about 1 Peter 3, and it was the next spot we landed on was to talk about the inward beauty that takes place, actually within women, but actually all of us as believers. This passage isn't just for women, it's actually for us all. And last time I spoke, we talked about following his steps. And this follows that, and it's a part of following his steps. And it's just Peter here is giving instructions to the woman or to the wife. And of course, even though it speaks mostly regarding women, it's kind of like when we're recently going through Colossians and talking about the minister. It still applies to everybody. And it's the same thing. And of course, I'm not a woman, right? At least last time I checked. And oh, that's right. So we better.
I better check again.
But in all seriousness, it's beautiful to see the portrait of a godly woman in the Word, especially as we see it lived out in our midst. And there's so many wonderful godly women in our midst. And when the women in our lives demonstrate that inward beauty of Christ, our hearts as men truly crumble, don't they? And all of us need to follow the godly woman example as Christians. So, because why? Again, why? Because it's following his steps. It's following his steps. And we see Christ in godly women. And we're all the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. And we learn submission to our great husband, the Lord Jesus. And as primarily as this word or set of verses is speaking to women, it really, really does pertain to all of us as his bride. And we can learn of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I just wanted to open again with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, Lord, some of these topics are not easy. Lord, when we come to these sections in your word, Lord, we just ask, Lord, for your wisdom and your grace. Lord, yet it's simply laid out what your word declares. You declare it plainly, and we just pray that you would give us wisdom and grace, and please take me out of the way. Please may your glory be shown through the proclamation of your blessed word. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first point tonight is the hidden person of the heart. The hidden person of the heart. Our verse 4, our text in verse 4 says, rather, it just got done listing all the things, in verse 3, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. But it says in verse 4, rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. So it's about the hidden person of the heart. And so the question might be asked, is it wrong to dress yourselves up, ladies? And, and sisters in Christ? And the answer is no. No, of course not. And certainly not. Absolutely not. And, I think of many sects like you see in Pentecostal circles where they really have the ladies go all the way up to the chin and all the way down to the ground and they have to have the super long hair. That's not what it's talking about here. And of course we know Islam. Islam really teaches that they basically hide the woman. What does that do? It takes away the individuality of the woman. And that's not right. Peter here was not forbidding all adornment. It's not a legalistic thing. But his focus is on the hidden woman and the hidden heart, the person of the heart. In the world Peter lived in, the women would often have arranged or dyed hair. They would wear these wigs and they'd have them imported from Germany. So all they would do is focus on the outward adornment. And so Peter is overcorrecting it, if you will, and he's saying, look, you need to stop focusing on all these things and focus on what's inside and who's inside. And of course, all these things should not be our main focus, and which everything should be in moderation like all things. But even for men, our focus shouldn't be on too much of our outward appearances, right? I mean, it's I could be saying, oh, I'm going to try to correct my baldness and order 20 toupees, and this week I'll have one looking like Elvis, and next week I'll have one looking like Victor's, and well, yeah, it's the same thing, right? But and there wouldn't be anything wrong, but where would my focus be? It would be wrong. Your focus would be taken away from the things of the Lord. But beauty, real beauty, comes from the hidden person of the heart. And again, verse 4 says, rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty. So the hidden person or beauty is secret. That's what it means. It's the word kryptos, if you will. It's almost like if you've ever heard in computer terms, something that is encrypted. If it's encrypted end to end, it's a secret within, and it can't be discovered. There's things like hashes and end to end encryption, and why is that? It's to keep the data safe. So it keeps the data a secret. And there's much more to that, but I don't want to bore you all with that. But often things are called a shared secret and so on. But, well, as you can see, it's our adjective here. It's concealed, private, hidden, inwardly secret. And that's it really comes from cryptic. So the Lord desires the hidden man or woman of the heart to be changed. And so that's what's really Peter is speaking of here. It says, and the Lord only cares about the hidden person and not the outward. He's not concerned with the outward. We could dress ourselves up in many different right kind of ways, and God's not concerned with that. He's concerned with the heart. He's concerned with the changing of the heart. And of course, the first part is, how does that happen in the first place? It's two sides of the same coin. It's true repentance and true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, just look at the confidence of David. He says deep down in the cryptic hidden part that no one can see, but he says, oh, you see, O Lord. Look at Psalm 51, verse 6. He's saying, you see me, O God. You see what's going on in my heart and in the hidden that no one else does see or understand. And David here, as you turn there, you know, David's as if he's saying, even though I've messed things up greatly, he's repenting. He's repenting of his sin. He's saying, I have sinned. Look, Lord, you will give me wisdom. Wisdom, you will give me truth in the inward hidden part. So Psalm 51, verse 6, it says, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. This is David repenting. And in the hidden part, the secret part, the deep down part, the inner, you will make me to know wisdom. You will make me to know wisdom. That is where we come to know wisdom, is deep down in our hearts. The Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to know him, we repent of our sins and we turn to him in faith. And it is why we hide his word in our hearts. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We hide it deep down in that secret place, so to speak, in our hearts, so that we can reflect the beauty of Christ to others and give a sweet-smelling savor, if you will, to those around us. So what is hidden to everyone in the secret place and in the heart can be seen by all. So even though it's hidden in our hearts, it still reflects, people can still see us, who we are, both the good and the bad, so to speak, if we're truly changed, or not. Have you ever heard the expression, beauty is only skin deep? You know, the meaning, while someone may be extremely attractive on the outside, the inward character or person is corrupt and full of bitterness. And that's basically what that means. And in Proverbs 31 says that charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. You see, our verse says that the incorruptible beauty, the inward beauty is incorruptible. And even religious beauty, so-called, we can ever be the most beautiful religion. If you look at it from a religious standpoint, we could have all the beautiful buildings and cathedrals, and we could have tons of stained glass windows and incense going and wearing a mitre hat and robes and walking around. Yet if people say, wow, that's a beautiful religion, that's beautiful, but that's not what God is interested in. What does the Lord God require? If you're still in Psalm 51, if you look down at verses 16 and 17, he says there, "For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." See, he's interested in the inside, a broken and a contrite heart. He will not despise. And that's what he's interested in the incorruptible within. In our still in our text in verse 4, the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. You know, the inner beauty of a godly woman is incorruptible. This means that it does not decay or get worse with age. Instead, incorruptible beauty only gets better with age and is therefore much greater value than the beauty that comes from the hair, jewelry, or clothing. So as you know, I just, you know, as women age, the beauty, they become more beautiful in Christ because they have that inward beauty and they shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. And for this to take place, we must be born again in our hearts. We must come to that place, as David, we just read about David, did, the incorruptibility of Christ. And what is chapter, I've turned back to this several times, but what does chapter 1, verse 23 say in 1 Peter? We must be born again. Verse 23 says, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." So we hide the word in our hearts, we become born again in our hearts, and that is where the incorruptibility is. The beauty that is within is through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. But next, the hidden inward incorruptibility of Christ produces a gentle and quiet spirit, a gentle and quiet spirit. You know, so the gentle and quiet spirit is really a content spirit, isn't it? We're content with what we have. We're content. The word says this. It is a beautiful, wonderful thing to actually learn from women, from this spirit around. So, how many of us have had godly mothers who have demonstrated this, and wives? And you know, it's wonderful. I think of my dear wife who has dealt with me all these years, right? And yet she takes things patiently. She has that gentle and quiet spirit. I told her I'd give her a shout out on the air. And right, hon? But yeah, right, of course. But contentment, Jeremiah Burroughs put it this way: contentment is a sweet, inward, heart thing. It is a work of the spirit indoors. It is the inward submission of the heart. Truly, my soul waits upon God. It is really being like Jesus. It's to be like Jesus. The gentle tranquility of the heart attitude reminds us of Christ. Remember, what did he do? We've learned that in 1 Peter as well. He submitted to the Father. He submitted to the Father. Jesus was meek above all, the meekness of spirit. And it doesn't mean weak. And, you know, women, all of us, it doesn't mean that you're weak if you have a gentle spirit. It's actually because you're made stronger in the Lord. It is wonderful to meditate on our Savior, learning from his lowliness and meekness. But a radio host put it this way: Jesus called us to be true to him, to love our enemies, and this includes being gentle and meek. So what does that look like? Meekness isn't weakness. Meekness is restrained strength. You actually have strength, but it's restrained strength, right? Meekness is restrained strength. It is a quiet strength in the Bible. It's used interchangeably in many verses. But if you look at Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, we look at Jesus's heart and attitude. And while you're turning there, just, you know, we are to take this on as believers and point everyone to his wonderful burden-lifting power. We do not have to take difficulties on ourselves. We can lay everything at his feet, even if it means submission to a difficult husband or if it means something complicated. We come to Jesus for salvation, and we keep coming to him continually to lift our burdens as we do it his way. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, it says there, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am," same word, "gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So it's so beautiful that Jesus had, his meekness was not weakness, it was strength. And we come to him with our burdens. And whatever our difficulties may be, we lay him at his feet and we come to gentle, lowly Jesus. Does that mean he was weak? No. He was strength and restrained strength in every kind of way. But the temptation for us when we're wronged is to contend, isn't it? We all fall into that, but we need to trust him for his rest, as we just read. You see, when we contend, we lose the blessing. When we fight back, you see, that what is the opposite of meekness? It's the pride and contention for all of us. It always takes two to tango, and then nobody wins. What happens on a very rainy day? It gets louder and wetter, doesn't it? It doesn't make for peace. And then, you know, we're in the context of women, and it says, again, it's easy for me to say, but next week we'll get to the men. But in Proverbs 27, verse 15, it says, "A continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike." And so there's just no rest that we just found in Jesus, right? There's no rest if there's constant contention. And instead of having a gentle and lowly, gentle and quiet spirit. The scene is like, in that verse, the scene is like a house with a bad roof, where a rainy day means continual dripping. The dripping shows there's a problem. It brings damage and it greatly annoys. That is the same effect as a contentious woman in the house. The man takes shelter under the roof of his home, expecting to find protection from the storm. Instead, he finds his leaky roof provides him no shelter from the torrential downpour. That's the picture in that verse. But all of us want to be heard, don't we? And so we'll go to great lengths to contend and get louder and louder. This applies to men too, but God calls out women in these passages on how to win over their husbands that are disobedient. You know, you see, us men can be babies, right? You know, we need the help. You know, we need you ladies to help us. And you know what? It works in evangelizing too. When people get upset at you, they get angry at you, it does really help to not contend, just to be quiet and gentle and just take it. Because some people will get angry at you when you're telling them, hey, look, you're in your sins, and if you don't trust in Jesus, you're going to go to hell. And people get angry at that. Wait, I'm not a sinner. What are you talking about? And they can really escalate and get angry and even do things at great lengths. But so we, even then, to quiet and a gentle spirit is necessary when even evangelizing. So what's the opposite? Really, it's winning a word. Look at verses 1 and 2 in 1 Peter 3. It says, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear." You see, they could be won, winning without a word, by the conduct of the word. And that's That's what's beautiful, and ladies have that advantage over the man. Women, do you want to make your husband be quiet and make him feel like a total oaf that he often is? Not that you'd want to do that, ladies, but that's how you do it, is just totally being quiet and just going, yeah, okay. The man won't know what to do. He often doesn't know what to do, and he feels really dumb at the end of it all. But we cannot do these things in our own strength, can we? It's impossible in the flesh. It's Christ in you that gives you the ability as he works in his church. One of my favorite verses is Ephesians 3, verses 20 through 21. And we're the church. We're his bride. And we're his wife. One of my favorite verses is Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. We need to rely on his ability. It says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. You see, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And the difficulties that, like a passage like this brings, the difficulties that we go through, the idea of being submissive, even in a very difficult situation. It might be a bad boss. It might be, but to be submissive is very difficult. And you know, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so we need to trust in him. We need to trust in him. But our verse continues in verse 4. It says there that verse 4 says, which is very precious in the sight of God. Very precious in the sight of God. So the gentle and quiet spirit is so precious in the sight of the Lord. All that matters is the precious in his sight. All that matters is the precious in his sight. It means very costly. She is precious. That's what it really means. It's really precious. In Mark 14, verse 3, Mark 14, verse 3 really kind of declares that very preciousness. Mark 14, 3 says, and being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. That very costly is precious. And so when God is talking about the gentle and quiet spirit, that's precious, precious, like very costly in the sight of God. You can't help but think of Proverbs 31. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is what? Far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. So, and how beautiful that is, and the godly woman being represented in the midst of the home. You know, she leads in this way as the virtuous wife. So what is the adorning, the dressing up, or the makeup, if you will, that the Lord is interested in? Again, it's trusting the Lord, trusting the Lord. In verse 5, it says, for in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. So it's by trusting the Lord, we are adorned. We are dressed up. We doll ourselves up with makeup by trusting in the Lord. And it's precious in his sight. It's where we get the word cosmetics, cosmeo. It's, you know, to put in proper order or to decorate and to adorn, to garnish, to trim, to put in order, to make ready, and to embellish with honor, to gain honor. So what usually people get dressed up because they want to feel special. But God says you already are special in the inward by trusting in me, he says. But when you trust the Lord, that is precious in his sight. And so a life of faith and trusting in our God gives us an ornament of grace, which leads to submission. And submission is an active embrace of God's will, demonstrating trust in him. It's not weakness. It's trusting in him. So a submissive heart toward the Lord produces a humble heart and attitude. And how does our relationship with the Lord start? I believe we talked about that this morning in James chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And that's how our relationship, we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. And so it's always in the sight of the Lord, and that's what's precious to him. And even here, when we're, even as women are submissive to their husbands, it's in the sight of the Lord. They're not doing it for their husband's sake. They're doing it for the Lord's sake. So even our relationship starts with submission, and so it's always as to the Lord. So when you face a difficult situation, or if your husband is not acting as he should, it's submission as to the Lord, as to the Lord. We do not have to prove anything. Verse 5 talks about that. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. So in Ephesians 5, verses 22 to 23, Ephesians 5, verses 22 to 23, it just kind of it talks about that. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. As to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. You know, there's wrong views of submission, isn't there? There are many wrong views of what submission is. Does it mean that a man can treat a woman with disrespect? No. Like, bring me my slippers, and you know, it used to be the newspaper too, right? But no way, that's not what it means. Or like a woman cowering behind her husband? No, that's not true submission. And I remember being in foreign countries, particularly in India, the woman would always walk like 10, 15 feet behind her husband. And, you know, I always thought, wow, they're supposed to be side by side. They should be side by side. Because, you know, the woman, the rib was taken out of the man, out of the side of the man. And they should be at each other's side. And so that always struck me. And of course, the word Islam, right, means submission. And if it's carried out in their faithful sense, they demean the woman and think of her as less. But that's not what our Lord says or means or what Peter is saying here. And of course, next week we'll talk much about the honor that the wife deserves. And much to men's chagrin, one of the reasons why women need to submit to men is because it serves as a humble example to the man. When a woman is truly submitting to the man, it really serves as an example to the man. And the man doesn't know what to do. And he doesn't know how to act. And so, you know, when he doesn't know how to act toward the Lord and to treat his wife. But the example of Sarah in verse 6, it talks about verse 6. It gives the example of Sarah. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. So there was three things. She called him Lord, and she followed him. If you look in Genesis 12, verse 5, she followed him. Genesis 12, verse 5. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. But she followed him out. You know, Abraham was called out of the Ur of Chaldees, and she followed him. And that was submission. But also she supported him. Even if you look later on in that chapter, maybe you can look in your own time in chapter 12 of Genesis, that he, you know, that she supported him even though he No, he asked her to lie, to say that he was, that she was his sister. And, you know, say you're not my wife. And so, but yet she didn't just, you know, blow up at him or anything. She was submissive to him, even though he was wrong. And so often men are. But remember, he sees our heart, a heart of prayer. And that's what's precious in his sight, is what he sees. And if you look in Matthew 6, verses 4 through 6, that's what the same is. Because he sees our heart, we should always take things to him in a heart of prayer. And this is our reward. Matthew 6, verses 4 through 6, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So it's really about the heart, the hidden person of the heart, the gentle and quiet spirit, and the submission. So it's all in the sight of the Lord. That's what's key. That's what matters, is what he sees. Even if your man does not, ladies. And you, and again, your man will take notice and be humbled, and he will be humbled in the sight of the Lord. He who sees in secret in the hidden places of the heart will reward you openly. But it's amazing to see the Lord's work of inward beauty reflecting outward, as this demonstrates all of our relationships in Christ Jesus. You know, godly women truly represent all of us in the church, which is to be admired. There's not a difference in importance, but in role and mode, which the Lord has planned perfectly for our sanctification. You know, praise him that he desires a hidden woman or man to be his. And again, in Psalm 51, verse 6, in Psalm 51, I'll just close with that verse. It says, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. And that's what the Lord's interested in, is the hidden person of the heart. Amen.